This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The first thing I want to share with you is that these were out, Allah went out of His way. He went out of His way to say, "Innahum fityatun." They are no doubt young people. They are young people. Amanu bi Rabbihim, that believed in their master. Allah highlights their youth. This is important because young people, today when we talk about youth, we talk about the problem segment of our society. The youth are doing drugs. The youth are into filth on the internet. The youth are into popular culture. The youth are easily swayed. The youth are losing their faith. The youth are confused. The youth talk to each other too much. The boys are liking the girls too much. The youth have a situation in the bazaar. I don't like the youth session at the convention, it's too crazy. You hear the word youth, you almost make it synonymous with problem. That's just youth and problem, you know? And yeah, and it seems like they are the weakest link in our community. Everybody else is okay with their Islam, brother, but we really worry about the youth. Let me tell you something. In this time of trial, the only people standing up for the truth, the only people with the spine and the courage to not care what anybody else thought, and they're going to stand tall by Allah, were the youth. They were the youth. They are not our weakness. Young people are not our weakness. Young people are our strength. They are our strength, and they will find their strength in the word of Allah. When a young generation goes back to the book of Allah, the world changes. The map of the world changes. Let me tell you something. There are ulama, scholars, that have spent their entire life reading books. They have spent their lives worshiping Allah. They have spent their lives studying hadith, sharia, fiqh, usul, aqidah, tafsir. They have lived a life of learning and teaching, and their hairs have turned gray to white, and their skins are wrinkled, and they can barely stand straight. And these are some of the most noble, dignified symbols of iman in our community, the elders, and especially the older scholars of this ummah that are a treasure to this ummah. And yet, the scholars of this ummah for 14 centuries are learning about a bunch of young guys who knew nothing except there's one God. To those great scholars, these scholars wrote books and articles and papers and reflections on the lives of these not knowledgeable, not scholarly, no ijazah and any tajweed young men. That's what happened here. This is the power of iman. We don't glorify credentials. We don't glorify what the appearance. What Allah glorifies is the faith you can stand by. If you can stand up to pressure, then these young people can become heroes to scholars, not the other way around. Subhanallah. That is what Allah did for those young people. Now, of the lessons that I wanted to highlight, it's so beautiful. The way the story is told, guys, it's so beautiful. And one of the areas of, you know, concentration for myself is an exploration of Allah's speech in order. How does Allah tell the story? How does Allah narrate the events? And the way Allah did that for Surah Al-Kahf and Ashab Al-Kahf is absolutely remarkable. This is something that I'll give you now. This is again going to be an oral exercise. Those of you who suffered the afternoon session, you shall suffer again. Repeat after me. There are going to be 4 ayat of introduction. How many ayat? 4 introductory ayat. The first of them, إِذْ أَوَلْ فِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ. This is what you have to remember. The first of them is, the youth turned for refuge to the cave. They head to what? The cave. That's the first ayah. إِذْ أَوَلْ فِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ. فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. The second ayah, the ayah right after that, Allah says, فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَى آذَانِهِمْ. The second ayah is, Allah made them go to sleep. The first ayah was what? They headed to the cave. The second was, they went to sleep. فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ أَذَانِهِمْ. The third ayah is, ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِنَعْلَمَ أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ أَحْصَى لِمَا لَبِثُوا أَمَدًا. Then we brought them back to life so they could ask each other how long they stayed. The first one was, they went to the cave. The second one was, they went to sleep. And the third one was, they woke up again. Allah woke them up again. And the fourth one, and probably the most important one, is نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ نَبَأَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ. We are telling you their story for actual purpose. It's not a story for your entertainment, it is a story with real purpose. There are four introductory comments in the surah. These four basically summarize the entire story. I mean, what happens in the story? They go to the cave, that was one. They go to sleep, that was two. Allah woke them up, that was three. And then the story has a real purpose, that's four. It's done, finished. The rest of the ayat of the story actually go back, just like you guys have, you know, in the beginning of a modern chapter in a book, you have bullet points. This chapter covers item 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah? What Allah is going to do in this surah is He's actually going to take a number of ayat and elaborate how did they end up running to the cave. So the next few ayat elaborate point number one. The next few ayat are going to be, what happened? How did Allah put them to sleep? وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ. They were sleeping. You would think they're awake, but they're asleep. Allah will explain what that sleep looks like. In other words, Allah Himself will explain point number what? Two. Then Allah describes how they woke up. And when they woke up, what happened? لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ. They started asking each other questions. I'll give you some lessons from that, because that, I think, is one of the coolest parts of the story. So they wake up. وَكَذَلِكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ. So they could start asking each other. So they wake up, now seven guys in a cave, not the most comfortable sleep, or they didn't think it would be, but it seems like they got some pretty deep sleep. They have no idea that centuries have gone by. They have no clue. They wake up and they start asking each other. قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ. One that speaks more among them says, how long were you sleeping? How long did you stay? It's really cool that Allah did that, because Allah is illustrating that one of them is more talkative than the others. One, you know, you have a bunch of guys that hang out and everything's going peacefully, but this one guy, he doesn't like conversations to remain peaceful. He introduces a subject that he knows is going to stir up an argument, and then he's going to sit back and watch everybody eat each other alive. Right? So he's just going to just throw it out that you bunch of guys are sitting there at, you know, having some food or whatever, and he's going to throw in, yeah, the Warriors totally losing. And then he's going to just step back, because he knows emotions shall run. And then everybody, and he's not part of this conversation. He just wanted to watch the circus. So one among them says, he doesn't say, how long were we sleeping? He says, how long were you guys sleeping? It's so good. Kam labithum. Then one of them says, قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمًا. We must have slept a whole day. No, 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 part of it. No, not a whole day. Come on. Maybe like an afternoon or something. بَعْضَ يَوْمًا. And then this got so out of hand that one of them says, guys, who cares? رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثْتُمْ. Your master knows how, no, he knows better how long you stayed. Can we leave it alone, please? Can we just leave it alone? I don't want to know how long we slept. The fact is, I'm hungry. Guys, can we not discuss whether this was a whole day or half a day? I need chicken. That is the issue. So when he literally says, فَبْعَثُوا أَحَدَكُمْ بِوَرِقِكُمْ هَذِهِ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَيُّهَا أَزْكَى طَعَامًا. When a bunch of guys get together and hang out, obviously what is the number one priority? Food. These amazing heroes of Islam, and Allah goes out of His way to say they were just a bunch of guys hanging out with each other, and then they said, man, we gotta eat something. And we need to find the right guy among us who's gonna make the most of this money that we've pulled together. He's gonna go to the right restaurant and order exactly the right amount. Don't give it to this guy. He's only gonna bring four bags of ketchup and nothing else. Give it to the guy that's got the right, because one of the guys knows all the restaurants. There's always a guy that knows all the spots. Where are we going, man? And there's always a guy that when they're all sitting together and they're all confused about what to order, I'll have some fries, I'll have a soup too. Shut up, I'll order for everybody. There's always one guy that knows what to do. And they know which one that is and say, you take the money, you need to go. Because everybody else, you have those annoying guys that look at the menu for 30 minutes. I'm thinking, hold on. You know, We got to get this done. We got to keep moving. And then he gives them advice about being subtle. Don't draw too much attention to yourself. You know, وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ, be very careful and soft, don't make a scene. What did they know that the guy is going to be wearing 300-year-old clothes with ancient currency from a kingdom long ago and walk into the middle of a mall dressed like Shakespeare and he's like, I'm trying to not draw attention to myself, you know. And he's going to pass on some shillings at the McDonald's and then he's going to be like, you know, would that I have, may have some chicken thou hast produced, you know, like... You understand what's happening here, right? They're supposed to not draw attention, but this is not going to work out the way they imagine. I wanted to highlight this part of the story because when we think of, you know, this is not, and this is connected to another piece of this study. A lot of people believe that this is a Jewish tradition. It has nothing to do with Judaism. The story has nothing to do with Judaism. As a matter of fact, this was a story of young, it's a Christian tradition. The Jacobite church actually accounts this tradition. About 70 years before the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this story was translated from Aramaic into Arabic. And it was spread among the Syrian churches and the Syriac churches across the region. These people were turned into saints. They were called the seven sleeping saints. And the Jacobite church of the region was now celebrating every year the festival of the saints, where they would actually fast and then have a feast commemorating the sacrifice of these young men. This was actually entirely a Christian holiday. It was as Christian back then as you think of Black Friday today. You know, or you think of like something purely Christian, like, you know, Christmas break or something like that. And what did the Quran, this has nothing to do with Muslims at the time. Nothing to do with them. And what does the Quran do? The Quran comes along and takes a story that is only being celebrated by who? By Christians, a purely Christian holiday, literally, and says, actually, we own it. And these are our people. And they were Muslims and they weren't Christian at all. And they weren't saints, they were just young men. And they were very normal young men. What made them awesome was their confidence in faith. Otherwise, they were not hovering in the air, only quoting ayat. They were just pretty normal people. In order to be great in the sight of Allah, you don't have to only spew out wisdom. A lot of young people, when they turn towards the religion, they lose their personality. Like even if they hang out with a bunch of guys and everybody's having a good time, they're like, astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. Having a good time, clearly haram. You know, it's going to hurt my iman. No, wait, hold on. You can relax. You can be yourself. You can be yourself. And one of you can ask about food. I'm hungry. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. We were discussing how long we were sleeping and which ibadah we should do. And here you are worrying about the... No, there's no reprimand. Let's go eat, man. Let's go eat. In other words, when you turn towards the deen of Allah, you don't have to become a social outcast. You don't have to become weird. You don't have to be depressed all the time because you're a person of the akhirah and you have nothing to do with the dunya. These people, yes, they left the world. They went into a cave because their lives were in danger. But they still went back to the restaurants. You understand? We paint an extreme picture that the Quran itself doesn't paint. And our youth suffer from this sometimes. They feel like becoming serious about Islam must mean you can't have a life anymore. You can't have friends anymore. You can't have a personality anymore. You have to drop all of those things. Please. It's such a beautiful religion. It brings color to your life. It gives you reason for joy. It's not a reason to be depressed.